From the Film Grok Studios in beautiful downtown Studio City, this is Film Grok. Our movie this week, just in time for Halloween, is the Swedish film Let the Right One In. My name is Serge Delpierre, and today we have...
Heidi Hilliker.
And...
Duncan K. Fraser.
Before we get started, our cue point is right after the first big logo comes on, and it says, and then it goes down the little one that says EFTI in white. It goes to black. We've paused it right there, so if you can take the time to do that, we already got it there. Then when we're going to get ready to go, I will count down 3, 2, 1, play, and then you'll play, and then we'll be in sync, and you'll get to hear us talk about this movie while you're watching it, or just sitting around in your car, or going jogging, or working, or doing something else. I don't know. Putting it in your stereo or something like that.
Or flash dancing.
While listening to Film Grok? That's an awesome idea.
And I do recommend if you're going to do that, you definitely do it to the Let the Right One In commentary.
For sure. It's very energetic.
All the time. Oh, another thing about this commentary is we're going to be watching the subtitled version, not the dubbed version. So just like it makes a difference, but really that's what we're going to do.
FYI.
So so what would y'all think?
Well, I just saw this movie for the first time the other day, although I did want to watch it ever since it came out in the theaters. I know several of my friends went and saw it and really liked it. And then, you know, it became one of those movies that you always have the intention of seeing for some reason you never do. This was a good reason to. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say it's one of my favorite films, but I think it's worth watching. And I think the children are really stellar. I think they give great performances. Yeah.
Dunk?
Well, first, I wasn't even aware that this film had an American wide release. It was in theaters?
Yes, mm-hmm. It did. Yeah. Well, it wasn't a wide release. No. I think it was a limited release.
Oh, okay. Well, what year was this?
It was like two years ago.
Oh,
I think
really?
It was about 2 years
ago. Not that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It looked pretty new, but...
It's very recent.
I thought it was like a... I thought it was an art house film. I guess it kind of
is,
though.
Well, it is. Like, theater... It played at the Arclight.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And
stuff like that.
It played at
the Sunset Five or something.
The Lemley. That's where, right by my house.
It was so it probably didn't play in like Paducah, Kentucky, for instance.
Doubtful.
No.
Yeah, okay.
It's one of those films where you know you live in that L.A. bubble and you're like, oh yeah, right. This movie came out.
Or New York or whatever.
L.A. New York. Well, I mean, it's where a foreign film could come over, and I mean, I think that the strength of it is that a foreign film that was strong enough within its own country to be able to. Be marketed over here because there's a lot of foreign films we never ever get.
Right. Sure. And then it even has now an American remake.
Let Me In with
That's coming out soon, right?
Oh, it's out already.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes, it is. And with Hit Girl.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well I'll have to catch that one now that I've seen this. But I really enjoyed the movie. I'm always fascinated by the vampire culture,
mm-hmm.
and it always bugs me when someone does it wrong. But similarly, I'm always very like on about the movie when it's done right.
Yeah.
And I feel like this one was done right. It's a different take yet again. You know, I mean, there's because it's a mythological character, mythological type of being. I mean, there's some flexibility in that. You know, we see some of the normal vampire characteristics, sensitivity to sunlight and, you know, sleeping during the day and how a person gets to be a vampire and, you know, all that stuff. But I found it also... very interestingly tied to Anne Rice's stuff, kind of reminiscent of Claudia. Claudia,
yeah.
On Interview with the Vampire.
Oh,
the little girl that was turned when
I thought
she
that
was
too.
What
yeah.
like
right.
8 or 7 or 8, something like that.
Mm, yeah,
I mean, I think she's a little older than that.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe like 10.
Claudia.
Yeah, not quite as old as these kids, but close.
Right.
And so interesting take too. Like, what if Claudia decided to just go off and do her own thing kind of thing and it didn't go down the way it did in that could be this, you know?
Yeah I actually thought about that quite a bit while I was watching it. I'm a big Anne Rice fan. I love the film Interview with the Vampire, even though it's not even the best adaptation of the book in any kind of
way.
But all the books are very excellent and
mm-hmm.
and I did that. I automatically right away thought of Claudia the whole film.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had a lot of thoughts about that character too. And basically, just in terms of her maturity or what life experience she could have possibly had, having, you know, essentially having her physical maturity stop at 12, what opportunities that just limited her to, kind of like Claudia.
Yeah, it's
in a way.
Well, it's the same, like, you know, in Interview with the Vampire, she's in love with Louis, and Louis's in love with her, but he's in an adult body, and she's in a child's body.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it just, it already causes a problem, you know, which are topics now that in, I feel like in this film were sussed out a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, a bit. A bit. And, yeah, that whole, I think, too, though, you know, it's been shown that there are physical differences in the brain as you grow older. You know, I think the changes don't stop until, well, into adulthood, until what, the 20s or something like
that? You think your brain stops growing in the mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, so at 12, if, say, theoretically, she was physically, quote-unquote, frozen at 12,
yeah.
Her brain also, and I think she shows that level of maturity still. I mean, she's got a lot more knowledge,
yeah.
You right. know, but the maturity level is still 12. That's really fascinating in the vampire character.
Exactly, which I found more than in the Interview with a Vampire, where it was more of she had, I mean, even though she refers herself as not a girl here, she kind of refers to herself as more of a woman. Whereas Claudia, you get the sense of actually she was a woman in a girl's body. And I think this was a more accurate representation because she couldn't have had, once again, physiologically and just physically and emotionally, those experiences that would have allowed her to mature emotionally. Mm. So somewhat, I don't know. I mean, maybe she'd had, I don't know, it's kind of like, it's a gray, I like apples the gray area.
Apples and oranges. Apples and oranges.
I'm not saying one's better than the other. So, and I, too, just watched this just very recently, just in time for this, because I'd heard great things about this, and also because, you know, Hit Girl was going to be in the remake, so I definitely wanted to see that. So,
I don't think I said this. I also just watched it for the first time last night.
Ah, okay. Yeah. But I think it's a welcome addition, and I think it's a different, and we'll talk about this, you know, how this handles the, how this fits, I guess, into the whole vampire mythos in just in time for Halloween, which is always good. Good time to talk about vampires. Well, it's always good time to talk about vampires.
Well, but. I agree.
Yes, okay. And on that note, we're going to get started. So everybody pick up your remotes and point at the player of your choice, and we'll count down 3, 2, 1, play. Worked beautifully. I like when technology works. So what do you think of the credits here, Duncan?
I was actually... I won't say turned off, but real close, because they're clearly sort of arty, sort of, I don't know, something that like a film artiste would come up with. Now, yes, it does kind of get you
this
in the move of bleakness and, right. Well, I mean, you're an artist. I'm an artist. I might do this too. But as a viewer, it's just sort of slow. There's no sound. I was like futzing with my sound, going, "Did I not turn it up or something?"
And I think there's a point to be made there, in the sense that we all watch it on like personal systems. I think you watched it. You watched it on what, an iPad?
I watched it on an iPad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it on my TV. I think in a movie theater, it's very effective because in a movie theater, you come in over the outside world, you come in, the lights go down, you watch previews, and then all you have is you have black and basically almost silence. But then we start hearing something and seeing something very soon.
Right.
And so it draws you in also. But you're right. It draws you into the mood of it, which is
bleak,
blackness and quietness.
Yeah. This
is definitely, I think, what, you know, Ellie in a way inside has gone through for, and actually if you think about it, Oscar.
Oh yeah, I think this is Oscar's story. And
what is Oscar's story? Yeah.
And I feel like everything is related on to him.
Right. But I want to come back to this, but I want to talk about Snow real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the fact that I love Snow.
Everywhere
I know
we all
grew up with Snow. We don't necessarily have to go back to it, but right. I love snow, and there's nothing like a snowfall. But my point is, it's really difficult to photograph snow, and when it's photographed well, it really is beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
There's some films like Here It Is. There's another, In the Dead, that John Huston did. There's great shots of the snow towards the end. Awesome, awesome shots that Second Unit got, and actually in Family Man, Brett Ratner's Family Man, there's a great shot of him of Nick Cage looking up and looking at snow.
This the photography in this is outstanding, and it's very bleak. Like it kind of took me by surprise because it felt at once very simplistic and at the same time somehow very engaging and very visceral. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many washed out colors in this film and so many static shots of stuff that, you know, rack focus into stuff that's just as bleak, you know, but very effectively used. Right. Very effectively used.
You know, this takes place in 1982, right?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Oh, because, no, they say it.
Yeah.
At some point.
And oh, it took me a little while to figure that out.
Actually, I think you get it from the clippings. I'm sorry.
Honey. Yeah. It took me a while to figure that out through the film, but I kept on looking at everything around, thinking it looked really dated. Like, the clothes looked
right.
dated.
Right. I did notice that, but I was like, it's foreign country. I don't know.
And,
right.
And then finally, I had to... Well, I actually was watching it with a friend who had already seen it. Mm-hmm. And I'm about halfway through the movie, and I'm like, this doesn't take place in modern day, right? Did I miss something? And she was like, yeah, you missed something. It was something like, yeah, it was in the clippings.
Yeah, exactly. When he's looking at the clipping of the murderers, well, the murderers, it says Stockholm. It says 1982 up there.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
See, now this is...
And also, this is just really close to when there had been a lot of Soviet influence in Scandinavia.
I noticed that was a change. Hot topic, sort of, when they... You know, when people were gathered talking.
Well, it's Scandinavia, and I mean, the Russians were right next door.
True.
So, and then this is great. I mean, it opens up, and you think, you know, there's someone with her father, which, and yeah. It's interesting when you look at the relationships, and you go like, oh, no, that's not quite right. Oh, look at the snow. Mm.
I actually think the snow in this movie, I mean, you know, growing up in a place with extreme snow conditions, yeah. It never looks this pretty. And that's exactly what my friend and I were talking about, too, when we were watching it. Snow, like, never looks this pretty.
Only after a snowfall.
Right. It's so white here. It's so fluffy. It's just... And the way the people just live in the snow here, it doesn't seem like it inhibits them. It's just, like, part of who they are.
Right. Well, but I think... Well, I mean, I think you grew up with snow, too, right, Duncan?
Yeah, I did.
So, you know, I mean, basically, when it snows every day, then it basically covers up the crap from the previous day and with the snowblower, you know, the snow machines pushed off to the side. And, of course, it was dressed, I'm sure. A little bit. I don't know. You know, strangely enough, I don't mind missing the snow, but I have fond memories of snow. Now, what? I'm looking at this like, there's a guy peeing. But, of course, right. He plays late. It's an interesting way of introducing him. I don't know if I agree with it, but it's fine. And then...
Just everyman, everyday Joe.
But he shows up. I mean, he plays in the climax.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I find it interesting, too, the placement of that poster in the window. Totally random. It was already there. When they came in, and it's just this like frightful face doing the thumbs down, sort of like letting you know something freaky is about to happen here.
Nice.
It's kind of subliminal. It's right there, but it's subliminal.
Right.
Now, I like this vehicle also, where they have a cop coming into the classroom. I mean, it's just, you know, at first glance, you're just like, oh, it's just an everyday thing. They have a policeman visiting this time. Kid shows some knowledge of things, but at the same time, it puts that in your mind for the rest of the film, at least it did for me. And then throughout you're seeing stuff happen and you're like, oh man, they'll be able to tell it by this, and you're thinking in detail toward how would they discover Ellie, you know, later on. Like, for me, that just made it a little more suspenseful.
And of course now we get to see the bully, and we get to see
right,
Oscar, we don't see his face because he is self actually oh I didn't realize the other kid. The kid in white there.
Yeah, the wimpy bully kid.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I didn't, of course, make note of those kids at all the first time I was looking at Oscar.
Well, there was a kid tapping, of course.
Right.
We you know, pan over to bully number three.
But I like that you get this right away in the beginning. Oscar's smart and perceptive, more so than anyone his age, you know?
Mm. Right. But, of course, he is severely bullied.
Right.
Oh, I really, really like this little boy in this film. I just find him to be a really great actor, really endearing.
And the way he hunches over just slightly.
Yeah.
You know, because he walks, you know, he watches with his shoulders basically hunched forward to basically try and diminish his.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm skipping to the end. I don't care. I'm glad when that kid dies.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, me too.
You know, I am so glad.
His level of bully is just like much more advanced than anything I ever grew up with, because he's not just a bully, and he doesn't just have friends. They plot and plan out these,
like, schemes.
Yeah,
they're really manipulative.
To, like, get... Yeah, and then they play mind games, and they try to get you. It's not just a, hey, give me your lunch money, I'm going to beat you up.
Oh, no, I had bullies like that. Not really? As complex as this, but definitely, oh, hey, let's get Serge. Oh,
also...
Guys, wherever you are out there, hi. I'll get you someday.
I guess I was... I grew up in Kentucky when I was a little kid, so right. I got more of the... You know, hey, I don't like your face, I'm going to punch you now.
The bullying that I got, sorry, we're going to talk about bullying for a second. The bullying I got was because I was exceedingly short. Well, I don't know why, I imagine. I was very, very short, very small and scrawny, didn't weigh much, had red hair. I'm like, oh, easy target, you know.
I like this part right here, though, just to interject. Just very
methodical.
We have the little girl's companion is going through, you know, all of his tools. You don't really know what it's all for yet. It does seem a little creepy, but it is mm-hmm. very methodical.
Oh, yeah. And you're just being led into, like, what is right. this?
But, two, I didn't get the impression about the guy that he was relishing it. It's more like he's getting ready for work.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like he's just going out to do something. Yep. So
I feel the exact
while
same way about it.
Some foul play seemed afoot.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't feel like, oh, I'm watching a serial killer. It felt like, I don't know what the dude's doing, but he's...
Right, like maybe he's going to go steal some, siphon some gas out of someone's gas tank.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
Well, you know what I liked is that right before that, there was the runner that ran the other way. He didn't stop the runner, but he's stopping the walker.
Right.
Well, easier.
He's like,
right.
hey.
Well, he's choosing easy targets. I think that's why he
is like,
choosing little
this
boys.
This is like No Country for Old Men.
People.
What's that in your hand? Oh, you want to find out? Puts it up to his forehead. Bam.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible thing. That's a whole other conversation.
Do either of you know what halitan is?
No. I imagine it's something like nitrous.
It's got to be something innocuous, though, something that's relatively easy to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Like, I think about this, like, how criminals get a hold of things and stuff. You can't just walk into a store.
And you go to this, like,
but, you know,
holy
they get creative.
Crap.
They can think of things. Yeah.
Now, this scene...
What the hell?
This
I
scene,
didn't know what to make of this at
well,
first. I mean, I knew it was going to happen.
I think the lighting in this scene bothered me the most because it looks like we see the path in the distance mm-hmm. where he caught the guy. But the lighting here is so bright, it seems like... they might be just off of another path where there are street lamps. And
yeah,
he's doing this,
I think it
right.
looks
in
like there are
brightest
lamps.
Freaking place ever. Well, I mean, obviously they shot it with, you know, film lighting, but like it either means this guy is a total rookie or the filmmakers made a mistake.
Though, maybe.
No, I think it's a choice to basically make the snow read. And I bought it.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me.
It just seemed a little
bright. I also have a little
theory him to be doing,
about
know.
This guy anyway, which this would totally fall into, is I think that he is getting sick of what he's doing and
he's
starting to he's starting to get sloppy almost intentionally because he doesn't want to do it anymore.
Awful.
And I think that, you know, being right out in the open in some place that's well lit actually would fall into that theory.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, and he's clearly nervous too. I mean, like, this is something he's done before, but at the same time he makes these rookie mistakes.
At first I thought that because I kind of went into this kind of knowing what she was, but I thought he was the same.
Well,
also.
Yeah, I knew exactly what.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
I think
was.
We all knew what she was. But I thought he was the same as her. And then we have the dog. This dog I just wanted to shoot.
Right. Well, that breed with the haircut like that just looks like it needs to be put down anyway.
No. Okay, they're poodles. I don't mind poodles. Okay, poodles are nice. But it's just, and here's the thing. It's one of these annoying suspense film things, which I can't stand. But I think you're right.
Right.
He is getting, I mean, and he doesn't do anything. You know,
right. Yeah. You just see the way he reacts to this. And like, even in the later scene where he ends up getting caught.
He's
like,
he's almost helpless.
Right, he just can't.
He can't improvise.
Yeah.
Right.
He doesn't want to.
What it makes me think is that him doing this for her is a recent development relative to however many years that they have been together.
Oh, I don't really feel that way.
But
I feel like it's been going on since like day one pretty much.
Maybe,
and he's just sick of it.
Maybe, but at the same time, it seems much more likely to me just by how like rookie he is at
it. That is disgusting.
Yeah.
And then the dog, of course.
It just seems like maybe, you know, I mean, having read a lot of vampire books mm-hmm. and knowing the culture, they have moral dilemmas or they sometimes feel bad about it. They sometimes feel okay about it. She clearly has something in her that feels bad about it, but she doesn't have any compunction about doing her own killing when needed. Maybe it's something recent where she just decided, you know, I'm really trying to not do this. Maybe they had an argument or something, so he's only been doing this for like a year or two or less. I mean, we may be seeing the first time he tried it.
Well,
I mean,
we may
maybe.
Be seeing the 10th time.
I mean, that's a possibility. I don't know if I necessarily agree. Right. I don't know if that's my take on it, but I don't think that there's like a lot of, you know, I think that could be a possibility. There's not too many things that could disprove it.
Right. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd place him basically in his late 40s, early 50s. So he's been doing this. If we subscribe to the thing that they met when... You know, when he was young, he's probably been doing it for 35, 40 years now.
Yeah.
And let's hit that real quick, by the way. Totally seems obvious to me, like, this is kind of her pattern.
Right.
Like,
me
she
too.
Reaches the end
me too,
of
but I was
with
telling
some guy
Serge and, that I got into a discussion last night with a group of people about this, and none of them had made that connection. They all thought it was her father.
I thought it was,
and I thought to me it was pretty obvious. And as I'm speaking with all of them, you know, I was kind of explaining why I had this insight, and I could tell that they started to kind of understand what I had been, why I had been thinking that. Right. But you know, it was just, it was interesting.
This is cool.
Yeah, the reveal.
Well, the, not only the reveal, but then when she jumps down.
Notice that the window, her window is open behind her.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, she probably just flew straight out of the window right onto that. Like, that, of course, is the impression I get, is that she levitated, because I don't see another pair of, I don't see another set of footprints.
Nope. Yeah.
Ooh, very,
yeah,
very good. Well, we, and then we see now, and this is the only time we see this kind of thing, but there are some other cool things in this film that she kind of goes... Look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
it's so quite subtle.
It's definitely wire work, but it's like, I don't mind.
It actually seems like the way they go about the vampire in this movie makes it seem a little more like tangible, realistic.
Right. But that's it. It's all, this is really, really reality based. It's just like as real as it can get, and ever, and all her conditions also are just treated as real as possible. And you just kind of get little pieces. My favorite, of course, and what we can talk about when it comes, is the whole cat thing, which I don't, you know.
Although I do hate that cat scene with the other lady. Those cats look like crap.
Yeah,
no offense.
It made me
laugh, and not in a good way.
not in a good way.
It made me laugh in a good way. But I found it an interesting thing, which made me think that maybe it was some kind of, there was like a feline relationship.
Well, can I, real quick, on this scene?
Oh, yeah.
He looks in and he's surprised. I thought maybe he dropped the knife also.
No,
he but it's like
the
he
blood.
Forgot the. But
he,
like
he forgot. He panicked.
He's so freaked out, right? But here's the thing: is like
sloppy.
If he was that experienced at it, why would he freak out so much that he would leave the blood? That's the whole purpose he went out there. And if he'd done it 3,000 times,
right?
Why would he freak out?
I just feel like he's giving up. I feel like he's giving up. I mean, that later scene, he is quitting.
Boy,
I agree. It just seems like why?
Look at his face now.
Oh, by the way, this is the first appearance. Well, not the first, but this is Red. And there are lots of appearances of Red in this film. Just thought I'd point it out.
That's true.
There's a sweater. And this is where we definitely get the relationship. I mean, here it's like, okay, clearly he's not her father.
Right.
And that was the first question. Like,
still,
I knew right away he was not the father. Now, okay, you see the kid in the window behind this guy's shoulder?
Yeah.
Behind Oscar's? What is that?
kid messing with his friends.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's probably talking to friends, whatever.
But he's got his ear against the window. I just think it's interesting. It's like, why have anyone in the window?
Oh, interesting. She says, Connie, that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
My subtitle said, Connie, that wasn't very nice, or something to that effect. I noticed that because it seemed a little tweaked.
There's the English subtitles and there's the English narration subtitles. I took the English subtitles.
Narration subtitles.
In the selection, yeah, on the DVD. There's the two choices.
I don't understand what's narration.
I don't know. Subtitle. Narration subtitles are usually for the hard of hearing. So in other words, it tells them what's going on. So maybe that, I don't know.
My version just did it. It didn't have any options.
I don't know.
Because I was watching it through Netflix.
Okay, then maybe that's, okay. Just one, you know what, maybe that's what it is. This is off the DVD. Maybe Netflix has a different version of the subtitles.
Yeah.
There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's just like waiting until they're gone so he can go home.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's the most adorable little kid. I can't even, like, I love all of his weird, awkward, like, even that, like, movement he did. Just he rolls against the wall. Yeah.
And by the way, you know, the whole thing with the knife and that
I like how
he's
saying the words that she's saying.
Yeah.
With the knife.
Which I watched that dubbed.
Oh, that's
right. And it was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it looked like he was saying actually what you were saying.
I mean, I understood, but it was weird.
You were saying about the knife and the bullying?
I'm just saying that even by now, it seems pretty clear that this kid has the makings of some kind of serial killer. I mean, he's rejected, he's bullied, he's got weapons already. He cuts out articles about grisly deaths, you know, just like...
Well, he's got
a classic sort of build-up.
He's got a lot of anger in him.
Well, sure, but what I'm saying is that it just seems... It makes it more likely later that he's kind of rolls with Ellie being a vampire and killing and all the blood and stuff like that. Like, doesn't seem to bother him at all.
Do you think that's why she's... I mean, obviously she goes out to say hi to him, and I don't want to say she's attracted to him. Maybe she's attracted to him. I mean, here we go. You see 1982?
Yeah.
In the upper left-hand corner. There you go. I mean, do you think she picks him out, or does she feels him out, as in, like, this would be...
I think it's double-fold, you know? I think there part of it is she is looking for a certain level of companionship, and she sees something in him that she connects to, she responds to, probably because he's an outsider like she is.
Okay.
But I do think that there there is a pattern, and so she does also look for that too.
Right. Well, because if you look also at her current companion, in a way he's got that. I mean, I bet he was the same way. He was bullied also. He's got that weakness in him that could then be manipulated, because he totally backs down from her. She totally dominates it.
Oh yeah,
completely.
I love the local people.
Oh, they're awesome.
They're like, I just love them.
And I like how the other guy's just, they're drinking beer or whatever, and he's drinking milk.
Because he's still a little boy in all intents and purposes. Ooh. You know, like, who would he go and drink a beer with?
Right.
He spends all this time with a little girl.
Life, yeah. His whole life has been with her, we assume, at least since he was a young person.
Yeah. Right.
And he's basically been going around the country murdering people for 40 years.
I just think you're, I mean... I think his story, actually, in this film is one of the more compelling ones.
One of the most tragic, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I think, because you and I were talking about it and let me in, apparently that story is more fleshed out.
That's what these people I was talking to last night were saying, that they flesh out his story a little bit more, which I think is interesting, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It made me feel sorry for Oscar at the end of the film, because it seems like they have this little romance kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would have been more gratified, just as far as the story, to see her turn him into a vampire also, so that they're kind of two of a kind wandering, instead of him being relegated to this guy's fate, essentially.
But then there's no one. She still needs someone to get her blood. That's the whole thing.
She needs an adult.
Maybe, but at the same time, you know, the whole deal is like watching out. I mean, I'd be interested to know how she started that pattern, because I don't know. Like, is it because she feels bad? Did she start? I mean, going back to my theory, did she start sending him out to get blood recently because she's tired of him and she wants to get rid of him and she knows he'll get caught eventually?
I think she just needs help, because it's hard. She's in a child's body. Yes, she's strong, but like, she can't go a lot of places. You know, if she wanted to go and rent an apartment, people are going to be like, you're a kid. And yeah, she could just kill everybody and take the apartment, but that would be troublesome.
Well, then how did Claudia deal with it?
Well, Claudia was with adults.
Claudia was already with
whole thing. So she needs, and this is where she needs adults. She needed adult vampires, which actually I'm surprised she hasn't turned any. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, they kind of stay away from that whole thing.
She kills all of her victims so that they won't become vampires.
So they won't become her, and the one that doesn't, that's right.
Yeah.
So my thing is, why not, I mean, maybe if we looked further into the story, when Oscar gets about 5 years older or something like that, maybe she would turn him then, because he's old enough to do the adult things, But
maybe she doesn't want to make someone a vampire. Maybe she hates that she's one and she doesn't want to plague other people with it.
Yeah.
She does seem to have a lot of conscience about, you know, doing it, hurting people or not hurting people.
I like that. And she says, I want to be left alone, but she comes out there to sit with him.
Right. I think she came down initially, by the way, because later she says the first words I heard you say were, you know, squeal like a pig. I think maybe she was just sitting in her apartment and she heard this kid saying that and saw this little guy with a knife, and she's like, oh, that's interesting, and just kind of like went down to check it out, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely interesting.
But Heidi, listen to her voice. Hang on a second.
I like this whole exchange with the Rubik's Cube, too.
If you hear her talk, it's just, she's got a great... Her voice has got such a great timbre to it. It's his, too.
Mm-hmm.
But hers is just, it's that lower, it definitely is not a little girl's voice. I like how her fingernails are all dirty.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have shoes on. Yeah, she has a great voice.
Yeah.
They actually did okay with the dubbing voices.
They did okay, but this is great. Oh, that's a nice shot over the shoulder there.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to think, too, that there's a little bit of something different about Oscar than the old man. You know, I think he's smarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's clever. Like, he gives her these puzzles. He teaches her Morse code. You know, I think that there's a little bit more to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like they're a better match or something. Like, I kind of wonder if the... I mean... It couldn't be very similar.
You stink.
Right? Only kids can, you know.
And she kind of smiles a little bit because she doesn't even think about it, you know?
Right. You know, and I think there's a little subtle thing, but in this movie, his nose is always running.
It's always running, and then
just slightly frozen on his lip. Well, actually, interesting thing, I watched behind the scenes, these close-ups and stuff with the background here, a lot of this stuff was shot green screen on a like refrigerated studio, strangely enough. The wider shots, I think, were shot on location. But like all this stuff was shot in the studio.
I was wondering that because it'd be easier to do it that way than to try to get the weather right outside. Yeah, very good on the eyes. And also having a kid with clearly not clothes on for cold weather actually outside.
Right, you have
a much higher chance of hurting that child.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it with the wide shots because I was trying to look, how could they green screen that? But I don't think so. Oh, here we go. We're getting ready.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I really liked the sound design of the sounds when just having like hunger pains.
The vampire, creepy, I'm gonna need to kill pain.
But that's what made me think of the cats because it's a gurgling, but it sounds like the purr of a cat purrs.
Oh, now we're back to the cats. I forgot about this though, but I think that's something that's often introduced in vampire mythos, like this anti-cat thing that they're very.
There's always some animals that are against.
Sometimes
them.
Dogs,
no, but what I was going to say is actually it's cat related. That actually there's some kind of relation to cats, and that's why I took it that the cats were against her because they realized that it's like cat related. Actually, I think the hunger touched on kind of a feline connection also, if I remember correctly.
Well, you know, some of the most like adept predators on our planet are feline related, right?
Yeah.
Toss up whether, you know, a bear or a really big lion would win in a fight. A lion's definitely more mobile. But, you know, I think, too, there's also a lot of that mythology around cats sensing supernatural things and sort of being half in, half out of the physical world and the supernatural and, like, all that Egyptian mythology, too. I think there's that angle as well.
It's a great composition. Great compositions in this film. Maybe everything
It looks
nicely framed.
Yep, perfect.
Very nice.
And it makes the whole incident just that much scarier and creepier that you're watching it from a distance as though you might actually be there kind of.
Well, because the other guy's up there. I love this. And whoever they got, they wrap themselves around the guy. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's so subtle but so effective. You know? I mean, there's 100 ways you could go about that. And
he's watching. And he's watching from the other angle, interestingly. And this is what his point of view. And then here...
I like his foot like twitching around. That really got me when I was watching.
You hear the
it.
Like subtle growls like as she's feeding.
Yeah. Oh God, look at that. She's all messed up. And then
for a second you think that she sees he's alive and she's gonna leave him. Like he makes that breath.
Nice.
This guy's like, I don't know what to think. And she is so she's just like she hates it.
Yeah, she's crying. Yeah. That's why she won't make someone else a vampire. Why would she want to put this on someone else?
Right.
Yeah, good point.
That's the point. It's not like, you know, in other vampire mythos where vampires become evil. And like in Buffy, where vampires essentially... They lose their soul. Basically, they're inhabited by a half-demon. And that's the whole thing. But some of the rules are still apply, the sun and all that kind of thing. Interview with a vampire, I mean, it's implied that there is a certain amount of evil to them.
Yeah, and if you read the books, the actual source of that power is a sort of supernatural. I don't know if they name it demon, but it's definitely that kind of evil sort of spirit thing that mixes with, it doesn't replace, but it mixes with that person. So
and then
it's not
diluted down over time.
Right, and it's not just like physical, it's not just supernatural, it's kind of...
And then you can go to Dracula. Oh, he's surrounded by his cast. You can go to Dracula, where, I mean, essentially it's considered he has supernatural powers. He can hypnotize people. Definitely, there is something supernatural to his.
Well,
powers,
yeah,
so
I mean,
right.
Arguably in vampire mythos, you know, Dracula is like the first vampire, so he is as close to the source as possible. Therefore, the most powerful.
Right. Whereas this just kind of deals with it in a just very physical way. There's no supernatural element. She can't hypnotize anyone, but she's very primal.
But I
clearly.
I actually do think she does hypnotize these men in a way.
Ooh.
I do. I think the part where she's having that the mind meld type thing with the young boy, I think there's an element of that to that as well. I think that she has done a little bit of that with the older man.
Okay. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something a little different. But yeah, I think there's a little bit, but I don't think
it's not just as blatant, well, but I do think there's like that kind of, like they call it in True Blood, they call it glamoring. Like, I think there's like an element of glamoring.
Well, then, because I haven't watched True Blood too much, enough to know what the vampires are like. How are they different or similar to the vampiring in this film?
I mean, they're kind of outrageous. Like, you know, like...
But in terms of the rules of the vampiring? There's the siren.
They're like kind of like classical. They're more like Dracula versions of vampires as far as like how you create another vampire, about the sun, about holy water, silver, all of that. It's more along the Dracula vein.
Which is kind of like a lot of these things.
Dracula.
I guess you like that? I guess there's also the Blade. There's Blade vampire. I know we're going through a litany of vampires.
Yeah, that is much more physically... They take it in a much more physical.
Yeah, it's more like direction. It's more like zombies. You know, it's more like a 28 days later of like an infection kinda, idea. Yeah.
Which is more along that line. Exactly. Yeah, this is considered
opposed to supernatural.
Right. Yeah.
It's more of an infection.
So this is more of like
on the other hand, the cat thing. Well, kind of suggests the supernatural.
But what I'm suggesting.
But I think sometimes like animals are just certain animals are really aware. You know, they sense things,
true.
They smell things.
But what I'm suggesting is that the cat thing is part of where it started. In other words, it's like a feline. What I'm suggesting, it's like a feline
infection,
blood infection that crossed over into a person at some point and then passed on. And that's why the cat's like detect and
see the way he is right now. I'm sorry, I'm just interrupting again.
He's like a kid. So childlike.
Yeah, he is so childlike. Like the way he's just like carrying
He's never grown up.
He's never grown up. I actually think he's like a little even slow. You know what I mean? A little underdeveloped as far as like mind function goes. Almost like if someone had been drugged continuously like their whole life.
Right. Because, you know, even if
I see what you're saying. Yeah, in terms of maybe she's controlling him that way. There's the snot on the nose again.
Because even, you know, going along with that, even if he hadn't been educated and had all these adult experiences, a normal mind would still... put together stuff, learn from experiences, become better at it, you know, stuff like that. And I don't see in this guy an experienced, practiced killer who covers their tracks. Maybe he's giving up to that point, like you're saying.
I think he's giving
up. But he'd have to be really giving up.
I think he is.
Oh, he's totally giving up.
I think he really is. I don't think he wants to live anymore. I think he's done. He's done with this. There's no benefit. He's tired.
But he clearly still loves Ellie. Like, center of his world.
After 40 years, it's like, I can't do this anymore. And when she meets this point, he says, don't see him. Oh. And she just touches his face. It's like, which is coming up in a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's just heartbreaking. And it's like, this guy is just like, all right, I'll go out again.
And sometimes, like, loving someone is a lot more painful than it is, you know, pleasurable, you know?
There's a red bulb in the white snow.
Yeah.
And there's nice music.
They just happen to see that, and they're like, ooh, shoot it quick.
Look at that. Yeah. That's great lighting. It's just...
I love it. Do I smell better? Look at her. She's so proud.
Yeah.
And she's all cleaned up.
Yep.
And she finished the Rubik's Cube.
This is a really snarky reply, by the way. How'd you solve it? I turned it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I think it was probably a mistranslation of some sort.
Well, no, but I mean, you turn a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Well, all right. It's snarky.
I mean, that is exactly
how you
would solve it.
So it's a half hour mark, and they just found out each other's names.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that it's a vampire story, but really, this is a love story. It's a coming of age story in a very dark kind of way. I mean, he's trying to overcome his bullying, and and we talked about this, Heidi, that basically, in a way, Ellie is the incarnation of his animus, which cannot come out. He cannot defend himself.
Yeah.
And she happens along at this time, and that's what makes it a story, is that their lives intersect.
Interesting. Another point about the subtitling.
Yeah.
In the version I watched, when he asks her age, she says 12 more or less, which seems to me a lot more kind of ethereal of an answer than just about 12.
12 about.
12
oh,
about.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean about 12?
In the dubbed one that she says 12 more or less as well.
Yeah, that's the same thing, yeah.
Which so I think is a lot cooler sounding.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that there's two different subtitled versions out there. I'm like,
oh, be aware, folks.
Yeah, really.
Well, it's like any translation, you know. You pick up, I mean, even you know, a book or a play, you know, that's right. It's from another country. There's tons of translations. They're not at all great.
And I think too, probably the hardest thing when you're translating anything over is finding someone who is well versed.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I just love the way he looked at her hair. It was so like authentic and sweet. That little boy is amazing.
He was looking at her hair. I thought he was looking over her shoulder back at the building.
No, he was looking at her hair.
Looking at her hair like a sweet boy. He's looking at girl hair.
He's totally into her. And so, this is from The Hobbit. She's reading from The Hobbit.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I noticed that. I think that's really
Bilbo was saved.
But it's also kind of like a similar story to his, you know, being an outsider, dealing with evil.
Yep.
Interesting.
I think Peter Jackson should watch this film. No, just kidding.
Maybe he has.
Kidding. Oh, you can if you want to.
Let me finish my thought real quick
please.
From before hair thing. Which was just when you're translating something,
yes,
you have to have somebody that's equally well versed in both languages that you're translating between. Mm-hmm. If you don't, then you get something much more general.
Right.
Because you can't rely on the filmmakers to necessarily have that full sense.
Right. Well, I mean, in a sense, you have to control it. God, those kids are fracking evil.
Fracking even. By the way, it seemed interesting to me, in our culture, we associate the slur piggy with someone who's fat or pig. Mm-hmm. I wonder what it is in Swedish culture, because he's clearly not fat. Are they just trying to make him think he is? Or what other, anybody know what other connotation that has?
Pigs go to slaughter. So I think that might be part of it. You're a pig.
Or I was thinking more along. Yeah, go ahead.
I think, but no, that's it.
It was like in Deliverance. You remember, like, squeal like a pig?
Right.
I mean, that pigs will be made subservient, and that's true.
But even that guy in Deliverance was fat, so it made sense that he was talking about pigs.
I don't know. I mean, it's still very demeaning.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to pick up a little tidbit.
And in a lot of cultures around the world, actually, pig references are really demeaning. I mean, there's a lot of religious cultures where they won't even eat pork because they think it's dirty meat.
Well, yeah.
Pigs are actually associated with being very dirty,
Judaism,
unclean.
Muslim.
You know, they eat filth. They eat garbage.
Right.
It's not even so much about being fat. So, and it's a commonly slaughtered animal.
Mm-hmm. With cloven hoof.
Ugh.
He's trying to stand up for himself. He's saying no.
Kids.
You know, the interesting thing about this
film, this is horrible with this weed.
Right?
The interesting thing is that the adults in this film are all clueless, and they're basically given like short shrift in terms of they barely communicate with the kids, and when they communicate, it's like it misses. They're never observing what the kids are doing. It's like the adults live in a different world than these kids.
Yeah.
Aww, I even feel bad for this bully, though. He doesn't want to be doing this.
Well,
peer pressure.
But you know what? He survives at the end.
Yeah, because he's not that bad.
No, he knows he's
being bullied, too. He's being bullied into being a bully.
Right. Yep. I mean, I think both of them are.
Well, that one's complicit. This one, he is kind of, but he, you know, he definitely crosses lines.
I think he wants to be, but he just doesn't have the same guts. The kid who's the instigator, I just can't believe, like, how evil, like what kind of upbringing or what kind of home environment would you have to have?
But
we see his older brother or whatever later.
We definitely get that the older brother basically has made that kid into what he is, and who knows what made the older brother. The older brother's probably plain evil.
Just horrible.
Oscar has guts, though. Did you see how he just took that? He didn't cry. He didn't curl up in a ball. He just sat there and he took it. They hit him in the face and he just like opened his eyes and stared right into their eyes. I think he's got a lot of moxie.
Yeah, and it's also building, you know, him coming out, because he's already acting out, stabbing them with a knife.
Well,
you know,
he's got the knife.
He's
got the knife. He's stabbing the tree.
Right. I mean, that's only like one or maybe a half step short of actually doing something. Like, I almost expect him to pull the knife out the next time the bullies came.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Swedish word for long is also long. We've all learned something.
And actually, "quote" is related to the French "cool," which means short.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Latin.
Well,
origins.
There you go.
What do you know?
I hope you're all taking notes on this.
Totally. I think it's interesting. Just a weird. I don't know. This is me in details, but the long cut is covered by a single Band-Aid, so some of the adhesive has to be on that cut.
Yeah. And I like how she asks, you know, she asks them what happened, and now she tells them what to do.
Yeah.
I love her voice. It's just it's so appropriate.
Well, it's so adult.
Well, yeah, for a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm. I really visually like the dynamic of them together, you know, and she's got the dark hair, the dark eyes. He's just so toe-headed with those blue, crisp, piercing eyes.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder why it took them a year to cast these kids.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, good on them for doing so.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes the film.
And then she said, then basically she says that she can handle, you know, if he needs the help, she can handle it, which in the end, and he can't, he's like, I don't know how to deal with this. Right. I got to go. See you, bye.
But he doesn't actually leave. He wants her to come with him.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh.
Oh, it's so sad.
See, I really felt bad for him. And in a way, I was thinking, it'd be great to see the earlier, in other words, the earlier adventures, like what happened.
Sure. And how similar or dissimilar it was to what's happening now.
Yeah. I love this wallpaper.
It's like there's so much backstory built into this, and you're like, whoa. And that's what makes it actually really good. There's so much more story you can imagine outside the edges.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's a wallpaper of force.
I love it.
This is like, okay, get out.
And it's like, I got that from this, that he was sort of keeping her from being near that closer wall.
Yeah.
Almost like he just, you know, quote unquote, conveniently.
She waves him off. But also the way they live. I mean, there's just like no furniture.
But it's very like childlike. It's just like what you know, if you think kids ran away from home, sure. You know, like they're not going to spend, children aren't going to spend money on a nice 4-post bed frame, you know, and and a down duvet.
They have to be able to pick up and move immediately.
Well, that too. Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say, because I got to be able to leave and go.
But so. They still don't even live in a transient style that is adult. You know, they do seem, it's just very childlike. They look like little kids that ran away from home. You know, they're carrying like all their possessions in a kerchief tied to a stick on their back.
Right.
Well, because, yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, this is great. Yeah, this is what I was talking about, the difference between the this version and the dubbed version. I think this is more accurate to what the dubbed version had. You're right. Okay, so I didn't notice. I noticed he had an accent before. I didn't realize. I didn't pick it up. That it was Spanish.
Yeah, he's a foreigner. For those of who didn't hear that part of the conversation, he's a foreigner.
Mr. Villa. Yeah.
Some of the subtitles look weird because he's, and I didn't pick up on it until they were out skating, and the one teacher had to come up and correct him. No, it's not holy. It's holes in the ice, kind of thing.
Oh, now I understand what that was, because I'd missed that. I like this with the cat. How they got the cat to do that is amazing. Oh, look at that. Ooh. That cat does not like her.
Mm-mm.
And this is how much she likes him.
She
knows that it's going to hurt her.
Right. But she does it anyway.
She still is going to take the candy. And she's like, she sees that she's going to hurt his feelings. So it's like.
They are, I mean, these kids are really, really great actors.
Oh, yeah. I'm really curious to see Let Me In.
Yeah, me too. For sure. Me too. I don't know, though. I hope I'm not disappointed. I just have a feeling I will be.
I think it's just going to be different.
that little, like, that little, like, oh, I guess I'll eat it.
Now, interestingly, later, when the whole, like, inviting her in versus not thing,
She
has that same look on her face, like, okay.
Fine.
And she just does it, and, you know, she takes pain for him.
That is such a horrible moment.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well,
it's great, but it's
I don't think I've ever seen a movie where it showed what happened. When
Right, like, and I love that. He's like, is there a wall?
Right.
well, because I think in Buffy they deal with it, I just can't do it.
In different universes, that's exactly what it is. It's like an invisible wall.
Oh.
Right here.
Well, the other movie I'm thinking of that comes up in at all.
I love this hug, by the way. I really love this hug.
No, it's really sweet.
He's just
she doesn't know what to do, but he's just like.
And this is what gave me the clue that maybe she's just, you know, she just does not have, well, I don't know. Does she have any experience with love, or is it basically truly that she's stuck at 12 and she's never been able to mature to the point or have any kind of relationship where she could actually develop any skills?
True that. Interesting.
Heidi,
also,
what do you think?
I don't know. I really just actually just got lost in this little moment between them. I just, the way they were looking at each other.
But why didn't she hug him back? That's the whole thing. Is that she can't or she doesn't?
No, because she does hug him later on.
Okay.
It's just, I think she's kind of feeling it out. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. All right.
Like what she says to him, you like me but because I'm a girl, but what if I was something else?
Right.
You know, I think she's just kind of apprehensive as to how he really feels about her, which is actually really right on about how young girls, I think, do feel about boys they like, you know? Like, do you really like me?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get deeper than that, you know?
Well, no, but, that's actually really good. Duncan, you were saying, I'm sorry?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, that's what it was.
Coming in houses.
Starting with that last scene, Ellie has some kind of discolored something on her mouth in every close-up for the rest of the film.
And it gets worse and worse,
yeah.
Yeah, she's just giving it away.
Right. Well, I thought it was interesting when she threw up. There, she just ate a chocolate, but the stains around her mouth were dark. It's like,
it's because she hasn't had blood. Yeah, because the last time she fed was on the
only thing that would be in her stomach would be blood,
exactly.
And hence the dark, like, one chocolate isn't going to make you necessarily have dark stains all around your mouth when you throw up, you know?
He's wearing a red sweater again.
Yeah.
And there's red in the window.
There's actually a lot of red in Nordic cultures. It's a very commonly used color, probably because it stands out so well against the snow.
Right.
Hmm.
But I think it represents blood in this. What does?
Sure.
New bottle.
What's interesting about the place is they do have interesting art in there. Like, there's different posters and what they have
set
up. Like,
they've brought some stuff and they've... But the thing is actually the kind of things that they have stuck up around there is dated. If this isn't the 80s, this is, like, stuff from the 60s, which would have been when he was younger.
When he was younger, yeah. I mean, I'd still place him looking at his age. Now, this is interesting. This is for people who recognize my face. You know, people recognize his face, and he's got the sulfuric acid. Is that why he brings the sulfuric acid?
Well, yeah, I think so. And that's why he's disturbed by the idea that when it mostly dumps over, because he's only got a small amount.
Right.
So you think he was going to deface himself all the time?
I think he was trying to kill himself with the thing and deface himself at the same time.
Well, I think, yeah.
With that much, he probably would have.
And yeah. I think that's another reason why, there's where she just asked him not to see the boy.
Don't see that boy.
Please don't see that boy.
Here's that moment, and he looks at her.
And she's like, I'm going to
see that. Look at that.
But I know when she's looking at him right now, she's seeing him when he was a little boy, when
Absolutely.
They first met.
And she touches
his face, and that's what she feels, you know?
And he's just like, oh, man.
But I think that's another thing, is that another reason to back up this whole theory of him giving up, is, you know, he's saying people are recognizing my face, you know, like people are starting to catch up with me, you know, I think he's been running from getting caught for so long, and it's exhausting him, you know, that he just is like, finally, just catch me. I'm over it.
Right, because he doesn't... I'm starting to get it, because he doesn't actually have it in himself that he wants to do all that.
No.
He just has to.
He just has to.
I can see, like, a regular person getting to that point. You're right.
It's just like, I'm running. It's exhausting. I don't know what to do. He is always looking for young men, too. That's who he takes blood from. Jealous, maybe?
Well,
maybe that's the kind of blood she likes. She likes some young man blood.
Young man blood, fresh.
Thanks for adding that element, honey.
That's right. Great. Okay. Isn't that what all
Anytime, no problem.
Women want is young,
young man blood.
Blood.
Pretty sure I've heard that,
yeah. All right.
Wow. So he even opens it, like, just to get it ready. But again, he's not really thinking, because he puts it right by that where he's working.
Once again, he's right about... And he can't even get that right. The lights go out.
He's just being such a good doofus about it.
Everything goes wrong for him, man.
It's like that... It just looks like that feeling, you know, if you didn't sleep really well, or you just came back from traveling, like jet lag or something, you know, and the next day you really just feel kind of like out of it and drugged, and you don't know why it takes you so long to do things, or you can't think of certain words... It just seems like he's living in that zone. Like, he's just mentally just handicapped.
Mm. See, and this, I have to say, the way this scene's built, I find annoying, because I hate this kind of stuff. But, and I think it has to do with more cultural differences in how films are perhaps read, so to speak, or perceived in Sweden. I just don't like the construction of the scene. I would want to see it constructed differently. In the sense that, yes, he's you know, he's totally failing at what he can do because he doesn't have the will to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he just sat right down. He knows those people are coming in and going to catch him. He's like, all right, forget it.
And this, we didn't even know what that was, and now we know what it is because there was nothing to indicate.
Right.
I mean, what I was thinking is that he was going to actually cut his throat, get the blood, and then burn off his face so that no one would know who the person was.
But he did say right before this scene, people are recognizing my face. I think it was his intention all along that he was going to put something on his face. I think actually it was his intention all along that he was going to go out this night and be out.
Looking back, we see that, but there was nothing to indicate what the liquid in that jar was.
Right.
Until just there, exactly.
Yeah.
But I thought he was going to drink it. I thought he would try to
kill himself. Yeah.
Aww.
But he thought it through because he knew he wanted to die by having, you know, her basically kill him.
Maybe, but the volume of acid that he brought, if he had used that whole volume, it would have killed him, even if he didn't drink it.
Maybe he wasn't planning on using the whole thing, though.
It's like...
Oh.
And look, I mean, she's got a little chair for her little nightstand. She's sleeping on the floor. Well, on blankets on the floor.
Or maybe that's just where he sleeps, because later we see she sleeps in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Oh, that, you know what? Yeah. I stand corrected.
That's why she made him move. Yeah. That was it. It was okay. It's actually his palate.
When the bathtub thing comes up, I have a little gripe with some of the logistics of that, but. It's not even that big of a deal, but I have no idea how she wraps herself up in that herself.
She's small.
No, I'm talking about the way that everything is layered on top of her.
She's tiny.
Well, couldn't she have the thicker blankets next to her? Then she pulls all the so top mean. Cover first, and however she attaches it down, and then snuggles up in the blankets.
It just seems like...
Like it was set down from the top.
See,
right, like it was set down from the top. It just totally seems like
that
to me.
Maybe he does that for her. I don't
know. No, he doesn't, because later on he's gone.
He's gone.
Oh, this poor little kid. But this is what I love, though. I love this reveal that he's just wearing his gym shorts, because up until until the moment you see him, I'm like, oh my gosh, did he put on the piss pants? Like, is he walking home in the freezing snow pants?
Okay, I'm going to relate a bullying story to you. I'm actually going to share a bullying story.
Tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the world.
Once upon a time, a couple of guys in gym class back in seventh grade thought it'd be really, fracking hilarious to basically steal my underwear out of my locker so that when I put my pants, they could go in the hallways and pull my pants down. So they thought that was funny. So I put my gym shorts on under, and they saw that. It's like, oh, yeah, we can't get you now. I was like, yeah. I'm basically abbreviating, but there's... shit like that happens that really cruel people, really cruel kids do. I don't think anyone listening to this podcast would have grown beyond that age. So, but, I don't know. We have to say, bullying is just this is all about bullying. And bullying is, as parents, even though I'm not a parent, it's really important to pay attention to what's happening with your kids.
If they're being bullied or if they're bullying.
Exactly. Either way. Sure. Absolutely.
Just back to that, though. Like, I really like the way he handled that, though. You know what I mean? Instead of just I'll put on the piss pants and walk home, he's like, nope, I'm going to walk home in my gym shorts.
Yep, exactly.
Because I actually think Oscar's a little stronger than he thinks he is.
He has the will inside of him,
but he can't express it somehow.
Right.
Yeah, but he's smart.
On the other hand, he's not a trained fighter, and how is he going to take on three guys?
Right, exactly. Now, this was really cool. You know what's coming up. I didn't, at first, I'm going like, what is this shot? Basically, so here she's like, no, I'll go. And she's in her bare feet. It's great. And she goes outside, and then this lady's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this all about? And then she's out here. I'm like, what's this shot about? I have no idea.
Didn't see and that she was on the wall until she moved.
Exactly.
Right,
which
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah,
I think I think that's the way they put it together.
Absolutely. Though. Because I was like, everything looked like it was part and parcel of absolutely everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she moved, like, there she is.
Well, I was looking for her too. Out on the wall, but I still didn't see her until she moved.
Because I thought, she must have jumped up, but I didn't see her. And then when she moved, it's brilliant because it played expertly with how you perceive a picture. In other words, you look at a picture and try and piece it apart and try and figure out what's going on in it. And just at the very moment where you figure it out, that's when you get the next piece of information. I thought that was brilliant. Now, this is the first time we're introduced to the idea of letting someone in.
Yeah.
We haven't had that yet.
True. And the nurse already told her she can't go up there.
Ooh, oh, very good.
Good point.
So it's been refused.
Good point. Which, okay, that makes more sense why she wouldn't turn around. But it's supposed to be a home. It's not just any building.
I think it's any room where
I think public places come with, like, you know, like she could walk right into the hospital because it's a public place. But then the nurse said, you can't go up there. So she did have to get permission.
And see, he said, can I come in? And he can't talk. He can't give her the verbal. So he can't let her in. So in the part of the rules of this vampirism, right. Vampirism, you have to actually say, yes, you can come in.
Right.
Right.
Because remember, he signals to her later, and so she does it, but she has to say the words.
Right.
So in that sense, it suggests there's a supernatural aspect.
Sure, because, you know, speaking just about supernatural things, there's a lot of power in words versus just...
Jewish Kabbalah believes in the power of Jews. Right.
And well, here she goes. Christianity, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at this. That makeup is just...
Oh, yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, it's a lot better than those cats later.
Yeah. It's very dark man, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, look at that in her mouth. Oh, with the blood. And boom!
Of course he had to hit that overhang, yeah. You know?
Well, I wonder how many takes they did before they got that hit.
Well, that's a green screen. And then they did that effect to me with her in the foreground. And look at that. This is dying breath. But this way she knows that he'll die. And that way he won't become like her.
Right.
Especially in that condition. Oh, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
And then she flew off.
Yep.
And we don't have to see it. That's a great thing. We heard it.
Very skillful.
These people are freaking crazy.
I know. The bed looks like just like a porn star bed.
It really does.
What's up with the black sheets, guys? Come on.
It's 1982. That's 1982
fair
in
enough,
Sweden.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's in Sverige.
There's red again.
It's in
Sverige. By the way, she's on red and he isn't.
It's in Sverige. And actually, you know what happens to her?
Well, yes.
She gets bit.
Yeah.
And what happens to him? He get killed.
It's true.
Because he's against the black.
Symbolism.
Colors count. Well, red's better than... I gotta say, the subtitle version is so much better than the dubbed version.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gosh, dubbed everything. I can't even believe it. Like, I mean... There was a lot of humor to me watching this.
Oh, dubbed?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
I bet.
So, now, here she is. She says, can I come in? Oh, so she's asking him. He's like, oh. And then we're introduced to the idea that he has to say it. So it's interesting how they build now on this thing.
And also the creepy, like, angle shot. We just saw a full-on shot of her, but now we're looking at her, this creepy side angle sort of thing.
All these little
bits.
We see her feet.
Gross.
Yeah.
Her hands and her feet are always dirty.
So gross. And this is the last thing I want, is some, like, cold, wet, naked person climbing in bed with me. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
like,
but when
in
you're
Arctic
like a,
winter.
In,
you know,
when you're like a 12-year-old kid.
A 12-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl crawls in next to you naked, I don't think you're going to complain.
You're not wearing any clothes.
Ice cold.
I think they had to have used some kind of contacts
in
her eyes. I know.
Nice. Yeah, and the thing I had, is it gross? Which I like a little bit more.
Right, that's the one I had.
Yeah.
Too.
Right. Well, yeah, in the dub, is it gross? And now she's playing games with him. Oh, yeah, look at that thing on her mouth.
Oh, that was also
slightly
different.
Yeah. She said it was like a specific game.
Well, that was the English name of it. I think that's actually the Swedish name of the game.
Yeah.
Well, I have a chance with you. That was different, too. He said, do you want to go steady?
Yes,
in the
he did.
Other
yeah,
version.
Yeah.
I think he says it now. Or does he?
No, he said, do I have a chance with you?
Why?
She said, with what?
He says, do you want to go steady?
Yeah.
And then she's like, what does that mean?
Aww.
And now she knows she's crushing his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh.
It's great facial expression.
Yeah. He's great with facial expressions. They both are.
Mm-hmm. Do you do something special? Then no.
Yeah.
Is everything...
Total childlike.
Is everything, like, same?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same.
Aww.
Yeah, they did change it. Yeah, in the dubbed version,
it was all about the phrase
being
go steady. Yeah, being steady.
Maybe, you know, it's probably translated. Who knows? It gets lost in translation, literally.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right.
And then she feels sad.
I don't know if she feels. I think it's more complex than that.
True. Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of elements of it. First of all, she just lost a longtime companion, whether or not, you know, whatever that was, she clearly did care about him in a way.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. She totally cared about him. But it's just, you know, she was realistic about.
But now there's all this pressure. She, like, likes this little boy, but now it's more. There's more pressure to it now that she's alone.
But true. But I think, I mean, my guess, having never been a 12-year-old girl, I think she does like him.
Oh, I think she authentically did from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From the very first time she talked to him.
Okay.
From before that, I think, even.
Sure. Oh, well. That's the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she's gone. Oh, where'd she go?
I'm next door because I flew.
Well, that's right. Because he doesn't know yet. That's right. He doesn't know. He's like, what?
No, but she told him she flew. He's like, how'd you get in?
Yeah, right.
Flew. Yeah, but he's going to believe her.
He's so freaking cute. God, that kid. Aww.
Now, the dubbed version, we never got the translation, so here we get it. To flee his life, to linger death.
Oh, it was translated differently in the other one,
Ellie.
For sure.
Oh, really?
That's much more poetic. Something similar in meaning, but it was that right there was much more poetic.
Right. I'm kind of surprised there's two different subtitled versions running around out there.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix. Fix it. Make it the better one.
I don't know. There's some things I like better about this one than the other one.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, blend them both.
Well, clearly there needs to be a third version.
I think there should be a third version.
So the filmmakers
need
to...
Okay, I'm just going
to
say...
Yeah.
The best subtitles ever in a movie that I've ever seen are in the Russian film Night Watch. And the people who did those subtitles should do all subtitles.
Really?
Have you ever seen Night Watch?
Yeah, I've seen Night Watch and Day Watch.
Oh.
I have not seen them.
Oh.
Okay.
I waited in line for an hour outside the New Art Theater when Night Watch came. It was only played in one theater in all of America when it came, and it was the New Art Theater. And I watched it with this crowd of crazies. It was fantastic. Best subtitles ever.
This is the scene where I figured out that he was foreign.
Yeah, I mean, I told
the teacher was foreign.
That kid is. I mean, that's a really good actor, but that character is evil.
Yeah, he's even more evil and twisted than the bully in Karate Kid, which I think he's probably the closest to. Like, those guys just showed up and beat the crap out of Ralph Macchio all the time, but this guy's like just mind games and his little friends like.
Well, because,
help him do
because he has a target. He has someone that he can knows that he can go to back to again and again to assert his power over and to basically assert his power over the others.
True. I find it interesting that he finds the stick that the other guy had that he was pushing the body with.
Okay, that a little too coincidental for Serge. I appreciate that
he might have dropped it.
The tightness of it. No, he did drop it. The point is that. In other words, he's seeing the girl, the guy who was the girl's companion, drop the stick. He finds the stick here. I'm like, okay.
And now he's picking up the stick.
Right.
And by the way, the stick is red.
And also the kids. Look, the kid's hat is like red and black and all that kind of thing. Yeah, says,
you know,
nope.
Two, this level of bullying is starting to cross the line. If they really pushed him into the water in there, he could die.
Absolutely.
It's different than hitting him with a switch, you know?
I think even hitting with a switch is 1,000 times over the line.
Well, of course it is. I'm just saying,
but this
life and death, that's a new level right here that we're seeing.
Can I tell another story of bullying? This is my chance to talk about all about bullying.
Sure. Get it out, Serge.
It hurt. It hurt a lot.
I know.
Basically, let's see. We were playing broomball on a skating rink, and three guys were coming towards me, and I knew one of them was going to hit me, so I took a swing. I missed. So he swung at me, and he hit. And then, of course, we all went down, but, of course, we all got in trouble. And I told Mr. Thompson, dude was coming after me. It didn't seem to make a difference.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like, you know, once again, you got to watch out for the kids.
You got to step in.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Thompson, just not paying attention. What was going on at the other end of the rink with three guys coming after me?
It's interesting that he can't get his friends to help in this particular instance.
I know. Look at that. And he swings and he whacks. And then the kid starts wailing like a little
like a little bitch.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
Yeah. Well, the bully is often the most fearful of all people, and that's why he lashes out.
Yeah.
They're afraid other people will, so it's like preemptive strike.
Well, it's great. It's interesting, the parallel between that and, of course, the girls discovering the body.
Yeah.
And, of course, I can't believe you've done that. Oh, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
And he is like...
he's just like rapturous.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
because
euphoria.
Because he's basically fought back. And then
he thinks it's over. That's the sad part, is that kid totally thinks in his mind right now, like, I hit him, now they're going to stop picking on me.
But of course, this shot was great.
Oh, yeah.
The chainsaw
awesome
with
shot.
The leg. But then even better, and I'm sorry, I laughed, and I will laugh again when this...
I know. What I'm thinking is like, wow, you would never see that in America. They would cover it with a blanket or some crap, so no one actually saw.
That is awful, but that is so funny at the same time.
True.
And that's one of the neighbors. I figured out finally. But it's like, that is just like, but it makes sense that that's what they do. And look, he has no problem with this. He's like.
He looks almost like he's praying here.
I was going to say he looks euphoric.
Yeah.
He's just like,
because he had a victory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I'm glad they did.
Oh, and side, like, and adding on to that, praying like he's thankful for something. Let me just. Yeah.
And I like he's just talking. He's like, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay.
And then they get off onto the bike or whatever.
Exactly. There's like no repercussion. Oh, you want me to come up? Sure. And he's working out, so he's trying to make himself stronger. So he's got that idea of self-improvement in him, which is good.
True.
Yeah, this guy doesn't like bullying, but he still does it. That's the thing. He could stop. Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to get bullied. That's
right.
Why. That's exactly why he's doing that.
Right. Yeah. And not only that, maybe he knows that the older brother is out there already and how vicious that guy is.
Well, and imagine that poor kid that's like the main bully probably gets it so bad from his brother. It is obscene.
Right. Yeah.
I bet you he does. And I bet you they have a dick for a dad. Oh, sorry.
Sure.
Oh,
I don't know if that's a problem.
Oh, no, you said worse.
Okay.
And I like that she's watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it connects to the end.
Yeah.
We know that she's seen the pool.
And she puts on all these warm clothes just to like, so she looks normal.
Right.
Like that's her incognito.
Right.
Is warm clothes.
That's like when she goes out where people can see her.
Now, this is really cool. I think this is one of the coolest visuals. Right about here. With the eyes. Come on. And that's right. She tells him her win.
His win.
Oh, he's so proud.
Yeah, and he wants. And look at her eyes.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Oh, and the pupils. I didn't see that before.
Yeah.
That was an optical. And you see, that's like a cat.
That's like a cat.
It's a cat.
Yep.
So there's cat in her. I was right. That's right, because the eyes are glowing like a cat's in the dew in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why the cats don't like her, because she's part cat.
Well, and any vampire apparently in this universe.
Right, exactly, in this universe, so.
But, like, there's very few things, not even other cats, that cats will just outright, like, you know, smash, you know? And those cats clearly had a will to destroy.
Oh, yes. But I think it's a very interesting mythology they've introduced.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I'd never seen that.
For sure. Do you remember the movie? Did you see the movie Constantine? It was
a comic book adaptation. I've seen it, but I don't really remember it all that well.
Well,
you don't have to remember.
I'm with Heidi, you don't have to remember much, but one of the things he does is that he takes a cat, and somehow a cat can be like a vehicle into getting into hell, because it's always half in the supernatural. Oh. And half
physical.
Yeah.
I agree.
Now this is an interesting sequence where he's like, he's doing something normal.
Yeah,
well,
normal,
semi-normal
with a knife,
for a kid.
Stuff I used to do when I was a little kid. PS.
Well, doing the Blood Brothers
thing.
I had
a bigger knife.
Painful. Did you ever do this?
Blood Brothers thing?
Yeah.
No, but I had serious consideration about it. I just never was close enough with someone.
What?
I never did Blood Brothers, but I did that. I did the hand spit thing.
Nice. That's hardcore, man.
Oh, and this is just intense. And she's just like, look at her.
We're going to mix, and she's like, oh, that means something totally different to her.
Look at her. She's just like, aww. I cannot deal with it.
But it's this look she gives him all the time. It's just like, it's like this sympathetic, heartbreaking, but also like worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mixture. Like, that girl is incredible.
Right. And that tongue.
Yeah.
You see the tongue?
Yeah. Extra
the
long,
tongue extends, yeah. Which we never see otherwise.
And now she looks old.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. There's two moments of her looking old.
And that was another actress.
That was a different person.
Yeah.
That was another actress.
Oh, I totally didn't catch that on the little tiny screen.
Yeah, and then there's a second time, too, where she looks old.
Towards the end, she looks even older.
Yeah. Like when they do the mind meld thing.
And now look at this. Look what
mind meld thing.
Well, that's when she looks older, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up soon. It's like the thing where she's like, see me, be me, or whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Where I think maybe
I
she glamors him a little bit.
To watch this on the
see,
iPad.
Look at that. How she...
Yeah.
Well, obviously that was a neat trick, because obviously she was up the tree already. But she's very much like a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks like a scared cat.
Yeah.
Her eyes seem extra big, too, which enhances the whole, you know,
which
cat
I think, yeah, I think is a whole, that's a whole
effect.
Digital thing going on. Yeah, exactly. I like how the guy saw someone get killed, and he didn't report it to the police.
Yeah, I know, right? Someone he knows.
Right, but I think you see something like that. I mean, this guy's obviously secluded. He lives with a bunch of cats. He looks outside of his window and sees some freak murder where a little girl that looks like a demon jumps on his friend and kills her. I mean, he might be a little wary of telling people. Like, they might think he's crazy.
That's true.
And lock him up.
That's a good point.
Well, yeah.
I mean, even when he first goes and he starts telling people about it, I was even thought for a second, oh my gosh, they're going to lock him up.
Mm. Yeah. And this guy does not stop about his friend. I mean, it's important, but he's like, he cares less about his wife than he is about the friend.
Right.
You don't... Okay, buddy, you don't say that to your wife. Doesn't make a difference.
Well, not in front of other people anyway. I mean, if it's true, it's true, but you don't air that in front of people.
Well.
Just saying.
Well,
these people do.
Okay.
Apparently.
They all know each other.
I love
Look
it
how
too.
Disgusting that couch is, too. It's all scratched up.
You know, this is maybe a cultural difference. Maybe it's just the people in this movie. But when they're, like, talking about inviting the dude over to drink with them, the first thing he says is, yeah, life sucks, doesn't it? And it's horrible. And, hey, why stay over here by yourself?
Well,
that's a whole different mindset.
It's winter. It gets dark at 2 p.m. It gets light at 10 a.m. You have light for 4 hours.
Well, I understand it. I just thought it was just out from left field kind of way to approach a dude to say, hey, come have a drink with us.
Well, this is a very intense suite, I got to say. This, I think, is a really cool shot when they start going here, because it comes across the shoulder. Yeah, this. Basically, they're technocrane up there. Very high. That is really cool. And then the reverse, it goes up. Oh. No, okay, that was it. Oh, my God.
And where we can't quite see, that's a great.
And of course, this is what causes the complication effect. Because he gets her on. He doesn't let her finish the job.
Yeah.
And what we learn from here is that basically it is a blood. It's a bloodborne infection.
Mm-hmm. She's like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, and she has to go, and she didn't, you know, she can't finish the job.
Yeah, and he's so freaked out, he doesn't even think to like grab the girl or something. I think that moment could have been acted a little better on the part of the dude, though. Like, I think if I came up some stairs and found a full-grown woman being essentially having her blood sucked out of her neck, or even just being bitten by some girl half the size of that woman, I'd be just a little more freaked out at that whole set of circumstances than he was.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed just a little too passive about it.
I can agree. I like how she's her hands in the sun. And
mm-hmm.
And this is where we get another clue, because we haven't seen this clue before. And what happens to the skin? Look at that.
Yeah.
That's great. And this is an interesting subplot.
Yeah.
In a sense, it helps introduce us to the nature of what Ellie has gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Through a failed victim of hers.
Right. Because there's stuff that she just wouldn't ever do now, because she knows.
Right.
But this person's discovering it, so yeah, it is sort of a way to
let
clue you in on her personal experience.
Right, more. Because structurally, I mean, we're, you know, almost 3/4 of the way through the film, and she doesn't fit in structurally in terms of that. She's a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is nice bite marks. And she's like, what? And this is where she starts... She's starting to think, oh no, I need some blood. And I think we hear a gurgle in a second. Oh no. Now, this was an interesting scene.
Because up to now, it was like the relationship with the father was like a ray of sunshine.
It was a ray of sunshine, but also the father was kind of like there, but kind of... This goes along with the whole thing about the adults not recognizing, like kind of being half in the kids' lives and half not knowing, like knowing what's going on in there.
Yeah.
Here before he was like, okay, we're spending time together, we're doing things together in here. And then this guy walks in sandals.
Sandals with socks.
With socks in the middle of the snow. Who is this guy? I think he's a DP, by the way.
Oh, really?
who is this guy? And he comes in, and this guy just seems to have, like, a connection to the father.
Some weird thing that we just don't understand.
Oh, it's totally creepy. I thought, what is he, his boyfriend or something?
I think so, kind of.
I think so,
like,
too.
Like, and that's maybe what happened between the mom and the dad.
I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah, I think it's like it's... I mean, this guy is just super creepy. From Oscar's point of view, I'd be like... And it's sort of like there's it's this like unspoken, like,
uncomfortable
oh, hi,
silence
hi,
thing.
You're here, so...
And
then the father starts basically ignoring Oscar. He pulls out the vodka, and then they start drinking, and Oscar's out of the picture, and he's like, see you, bye.
You know, what I took from it is just that the father was more interested in hanging out with the friend, and maybe the friend is, like, some kind of alcoholic, or just he comes over and all the time, and they drink, and he just has no regard for the fact that the son's there. He just doesn't care, and the dad is favoring this random friend who's clearly intrusive over his son, and that told me a lot about the relationship he has with his son.
That works just as well. I mean, yeah, and actually I think the alcoholism, there's just some aspect of it where just basically the kid fades from him for whatever reason. It doesn't make a difference.
Right.
The kid has become unimportant to him.
Well, it's just another thing to distance him from his normal reality, you know, and push him towards his ultimate decision of leaving with Ellie.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Oh, this is definitely part of it. It's like my dad, who I'm supposed to be with, and now I'm, you know, you're more interested in hanging out with someone else. I mean, from his 12-year-old mind. And basically, her motto to flee his life to linger death. And he's like, I have to go. I have to fly. I have to, you know, I have to move.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just stay here. And as a child, I mean, that's the whole thing. As a child, you are trapped in the world that, you know, the adults who basically dictate what you can do for the most part, give you the rules, put the roof over your head, give you food. But you need the attention, too.
So here again,
she tries to go for the blood.
Here again, the dad's not paying attention because Oscar just runs out, freaking hitchhikes back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Just goes. But that's how much Oscar is now driven to, you know, essentially, in a way he's growing up. I mean, he's making decisions on his own.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, oh my God, this is the scene.
This is like the worst
look at the
part
cat.
Of this
cat.
Entire movie.
That cat, I believed.
Yes.
It's when they're in full light and there's a bunch of them. That's when it was like, oh, that's crap.
Well, I don't know how they did it, but...
It looks like crap.
Okay, so...
However they did it.
It's freaky, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's a great idea.
I want to see how Let Me In pulls it off.
Do you notice the light turn off in the hallway? Was that a supernatural thing?
No, I thought she turned it off.
No.
What happens is in Europe, they have timers on lights and hallways.
I like the way she's moving, though.
In apartment buildings. So basically, it'll basically turn on. You'll turn it on, and they'll turn off after a certain amount of time. I think it's just, you know, planned coincidence.
This is like The Matrix. It's like...
I like how he goes outside.
Yeah. He sees it happening. He's no idiot.
Oh, man. Yeah, those are seriously CG cats.
I love that guy too. He's like, what are you doing?
Oh, she threw the cat. I'm sorry. It was just too funny. She's being attacked by the cats.
It was freaky, but at the same time, seeing her inside there, like, it looked sort of comical.
The way it was framed, it was very comical. Yeah. The way it was shot. And I hate to say it, I was laughing, and it was not in a good way. All right, but the moment is over. We got the idea. I thought the idea was intriguing.
In contrast, I love the moment where she's just to the male nurse, like, hey, could you open the blinds for me?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And it's a freaking torch. Like, that was a great effect, by the way.
Well, I loved how violent it was. Well, I didn't love it, but it was so effective.
Mm. It's actually a pretty beautiful effect, too.
Oh, and she let him in.
The house feels even weirder now. You know, it felt weird before when it was just her and the companion guy, but now that it's just her, it just feels...
I like how she's just standing there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like... typical awkwardness for that age.
Oh, yeah.
Odd, though, coming from, you know, a being
stinky.
That we know is a much...
Look at him.
I think in the notes somewhere, I've read somewhere that she's like 200 years old or something like that. I don't think it's ever mentioned in this film.
Right.
I'm sure in Let Me In it is. Now, this is interesting. What's she doing?
It's like she doesn't want to face him. Like, this is sort of just like her expressing that...
Well, she doesn't want to tell him.
Yeah. She feels safer.
But he asks her. But it does give us this moment.
What an answer. Are you old? I'm 12.
I kind of wonder if the speech patterns that they have her use suggest that she's not talking like a kid would. Almost impossible to tell.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
I'd have to say.
Unless you're Swedish.
I'd have to know the Swedish, yes.
That's just a random comparison.
Yeah.
You could buy a nuclear power plant. Although they have more than one up there, don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Another random bad CG effect.
Right?
Like, why even bother? Like, why even have that stupid egg? You know what I mean? Like.
Right.
Why not just have like some Fabergé egg you crack open? I don't know. It's silly. I have no idea what that's about.
Clearly, I think it was meant to be some kind of metaphor for a facade that easily cracks or something like that.
But the CG.
But you still could have done that a million ways.
The CG was not that. It was good, but not that good.
It was just so unnecessary.
And I like that she's offering him money. You know, her money she can give him. Because you got to imagine, she's collected money over time. She's had to have.
Well, you know, sure.
Because how do they live?
I mean, if you had powers like a vampire, it'd be a heck of a lot easier to steal.
Sure.
Than just for a regular person.
But if
just
you're a little kid, you can't put money into anything, though. Like, that's the thing. Like,
right.
These are the things that are problems for her.
Yeah.
She can't open a bank account. She can't you know, like do a lot of things that she needs to do.
Just like Claudia, but Claudia had adults to do everything for her.
Right, and
which drove her crazy.
And, you know, she was a very, by the time that she died, you know, it was still like a long, long time ago where, you know, even more in this modern age, it's even less like people will give things to children. You know, children were actually treated a little more adult-like in the past.
Two, there was a lot more incidents of, especially if you were wealthy, of parents setting up some kind of like fund, fund or something, but that the kids could dip into any time, you know. And I think that's also how sort of Claudia did things. They sort of had that too, so she could go into a shop and say,
"Oh, okay."
She was set up like an aristocratic child, right. So she could just get carriages and like go do whatever the hell she wanted to. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Whereas here, there's no way. Well, obviously, she's trying to figure out how to. We don't know how she, that's the interest. You know what I was thinking is this would make a great TV show. In other words, her life, you know, her life on the road.
Right.
With.
I do think eventually, though, it would peter out and you'd be bored.
Maybe.
I just think you'd only, like, run into so many scenarios that, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I do love a vampire show, though, because you can always have flashbacks. And if you can have flashbacks, you have enough material for, like, ever.
Yeah, right. Real quick on the last scene before this, I thought it was an interesting dynamic where not only is Oscar not afraid of her, he calls her out and sort of,
because he
backs
ballsy.
Her up into a room. Well, you got this money after you killed people, right? And I don't want your money, basically. He's like, I'm going to go now, if I may, or if you'll let me.
I like this little moment between him and his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we don't have. This is like the only good moment we ever have with the two of them.
The thing is that like his parents are actually pretty okay. Like they're, you know, they're just like normal parents. You know what I mean? They're not like extra attentive, but I don't think that they're like completely dismissing him. I think, you know, other than the fact that they're divorced or whatever, I think he's got pretty solid parents.
Oh, I didn't say they were dismissing. It's just that we never see an active involvement in the context of this film. We never see the active involvement
in
the kid's
life. I agree.
It's not as bad as Charlie Brown, but it's, you know, almost.
I never thought of Charlie Brown that way.
Well, because of Charlie Brown, the parents, you know, are basically, they're trombones. You never see their involvement in the kids' lives. The kids lead their lives and the adults they're there, but they're just trombones.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, here comes, baby.
It's because she knows.
Very innocuous. And we are, now we know that the guy, her husband, didn't have the guts to kill her.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And now we know what happens. That is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it happened so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, his brother is a dick. Look at him. Like, even the friends kind of like it a little bit. They're like, finally, that guy's getting it.
Right. That wasn't that bad, that particular interchange. I mean, maybe there's more stuff that goes behind scenes, but that's pretty typical for
brothers.
Older brother to younger brother.
Yeah, true.
And he didn't hurt the kid. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
What's that face?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is an awesome scene.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, that's the movie I meant to mention before. Crud, what's the one with Kiefer Sutherland?
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys.
Yeah.
That was the only other movie I can think of where there's an incident of you have to invite them in. But we didn't get to see what happens if you don't.
Right, yeah, it's like Buffy
it's
Angel,
like the
same
end,
thing. Yeah.
End thing.
I think though, almost every single vampire related thing I've ever seen, they always keep that.
Not Blade.
Okay, but here it is. Here is.
But also in Blade, vampires can have babies.
Ooh. No, the lady had a baby.
Well, she had a vampire
While she was human.
Right.
And then it got turned. So that's different.
So here's a...
Right, but it still wouldn't... That would never happen in, like, a regular vampire story.
Well, but did they suggest
that... Here's the moment. So she's like, okay, I'll do it. I'll come in. and look at her.
Oh, like, yeah, that little face.
She's like,
this girl is
she's
so
like, she's
right
like, I
on.
Know what's going to happen. Here we go.
See, and I didn't get what was going on. It took me a second to figure out what was going on. Uh-oh.
And she starts shaking.
And you hear, and she turns red. You hear the cat rumbling?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the cat thing. And then the first thing you see is the shoulder. And I was like, what?
Not
the
in focus.
What
that's
the hell?
Great.
I think it was only when the eyes started going in the ear, and then when the eyes, it's like, oh, okay, that's when I got it. Oh, man.
I like that she breathes a lot, because in a lot of vampire lore, you know, vampires don't breathe, and they don't, they're not going to spend any special time, like, showing the breath or letting you really hear it, and they do this entire film, you can really always hear her breathing.
Mm. Well, she's alive here, whereas, you know, usually vampires are dead.
A lot creepier coming from someone with freaking blood leaking from
their
face.
Oh, yeah, and from the eyes and everything.
The other subtitle said "for revenge." I thought that
was a better word.
That's right. In the in the dub, it did say "for revenge." Yeah.
Here it is. This is the mind melt, which I think is kind of a little bit of the glamoring.
Hmm. What's the glamoring?
It's like it's just the term that they use for kind of using a little bit of like a suggestion, like mind control.
Is this True Blood?
Yeah, in True Blood they call it glamoring, which I think is just because they don't really have a specific term for it in a lot of other vampire lore. There she is, old lady.
But you see, this is what I think is great because, I mean, oh, wow.
She's like really old.
And she just says, be me, or be me for a while, or be me a little. And it goes what we were talking about before about the whole thing, an idea of, you know, kids at that age are starting to learn about transference.
Yeah.
Learning how to, as if I would, you know, feel as if I was someone else's. Because so far he's really been like in his world for the most part. He doesn't know how anyone else feels. And so I just thought it was really interesting. She's forcing him to do it psychologically.
Oh, he's so cute right here.
And that's just a natural phase of the one thing that he has to do at this point. So I thought it was really, really, and it was just a really sweet moment between them.
Yeah.
It was just,
yeah. P.S. I totally didn't pick up on the face change. Because the resolution on that iPad thing was not.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your lesson there, Duncan?
Only use Netflix for iPad under dire circumstances.
You should watch a movie on a bigger screen, right?
Yes. Always watch a movie under completely ideal circumstances.
I'm not trying to make the David Lynch argument.
At all times.
But he does have a point.
Of course he does.
A little bit of a point.
He's so
cute right
now.
I mean, you can't really record anything to cover all mediums with the same kind of experience.
Yeah.
I got everything else. And better subtitles.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by this. I was like, holy crap.
Right?
Excuse me?
I didn't sign up for that. Suddenly right? I feel like super inappropriate.
Seriously.
Sorry.
But, you know, it is showing the experience of a kid that age.
Yeah.
If he
had
a little
totally
girl
authentic.
His age over, of course he would try
I'm
to
spy sure
on
I'm pretty
sure
in the American one, they probably are just going to show her, like, her butt or something.
Oh, probably.
20 butts on that. Not even that.
But, you know they had a stand-in for that. You know that was not really the actress.
I think it was a prosthetic.
Well, either way, they're not going to show an actual 12-year-old
girl. No.
What I found interesting about that is actually you saw the rupture. In other words, I found it very interesting. You know, in other words, she had ruptures in her skin, that there was a rupture there. I think that's what especially caught us, like,
ooh, rupture.
There was, you know, because her skin was rupturing when he didn't let her in.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And there was a rupture there. It was like a cross. It was like a big scar.
What? No, that I
no,
thought
that
was
hair.
No, there was hair on her. I can't believe we're talking about this.
Me neither.
But it looked like there was.
I was trying to let it go, but
no. My only point is. Never mind. Just never mind.
Sorry, Sarah. That was a moment.
I'm just gonna crawl back into my hole.
Oh man.
Don't go there, Sarah. Oh. We can't find you then.
I can't help but laugh about everything that just happened.
Sorry. Everything that just happened. It was an event for Heidi, apparently.
I'm never going to live this one down. Every time I'm going to pass Heidi in the hall, she's going to look at me and go like, I can't believe you did that to me.
Heidi, just pass him in the hall and look at him and say, rupture.
I will laugh.
Oh my gosh,
and laugh
if I can even
laugh.
Get it out of my mouth because I'm not like choking on laughter. Oh my gosh.
Aren't you glad you came today?
I'm thrilled. Oh man.
Oh, please. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like you so much.
It's very stuff 12-year-old would say. And by the way, I just realized this, but do you notice the script, her handwriting script? It's very old.
Yeah.
It looks like it's from 200-300 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah,
yeah. Yep, there you go.
This guy.
Well, I mean, his wife did get attacked, and she did burst into flames, so I kind of don't blame him.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't feel sympathetic, but I don't
blame
him.
And he lost his best friend.
I still don't understand how he's making any connections, though, because he just doesn't seem like you know, the brightest crayon in the box.
Well, no, but you remember that him standing right there. You're right. But, you know, him standing right there, that's where we first saw his character.
Right, I mean, I get that, but he was peeing.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He was peeing like a drunken idiot.
Thank you.
Like, it just doesn't seem like he was paying that much attention.
I'm not arguing for the guy's
smarts. I want to know how he got into the place.
Yeah.
It's like, are the doors all open?
Unlocked.
Boy, I guess Sweden is like that.
I almost wanted him to suddenly reveal that he was a vampire. I was sort of desiring that. Like, and when stuff like that, where he apparently just materialized inside the house, you know, I'm just like,
Well, he'd definitely be the stupidest vampire ever. He's just such like a meathead to me. Not even a meathead because, well, maybe he almost seems like the grown-up version of one of those bullies. You know, like, this is where you
not
go.
Even the main bully.
Yeah, like, don't know, definitely.
The peripheral ones.
Okay, now you see the windows taped up. You need to open it up because you don't realize it's taped up.
I think that was a film vehicle, dude.
I guess. Or maybe he wanted light. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no lights on.
Well, I guess he doesn't care.
And he says later, I can't see a thing when he's in the bathroom.
Right. And I guess he's there to kill someone, so he doesn't care about like what he does to the place. He's like, I'll walk through it, do whatever I want. See, I like the poster. She's dancing.
Mm-hmm. But I love that the poster's even dated, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely a poster from the...
Like 60s.
About 20 years before, yeah.
Yeah.
About 15, 20.
What a dumb knife to pick, too. I don't know who this guy is.
I know, right?
And of course, Oscar's there, and he's scared. Oh, it was like,
who goes to kill a vampire with a teeny little tiny knife, you know?
The dude's
like,
not Van Helsing. I mean, he doesn't know to get, like, a freaking, you know, wooden tent stake that's 10 inches
All right, but in Lost Boys, the Frog Brothers knew. You know, these little kids knew how to do this.
Yeah, but this guy never saw Lost Boys because Lost Boys after this.
This is Swedish culture. How would... I mean, we don't know what the vampire mythos is like in the Swedish culture.
But I'm pretty sure it's pretty prevalent. I'm pretty sure that if you ask, like, your average Swede, how do you kill a vampire, they'd probably say stake to the heart, decapitation.
Maybe he's thinking he'll cut her heart out.
Because
Maybe he's a dumbass.
With a nail file. Well, that supports the... Okay.
In her neck.
How did she get herself all covered up in this?
Because how does she fly?
She has it from the inside.
How does she fly?
Well, she flies.
Might as well ask the same question. Maybe she can levitate other stuff that's near her, like that thing over the bathtub.
I think she can do it.
I just find
that. I don't see that as an impediment to my suspension of disbelief.
Many talents.
That's all.
I don't believe it.
I just think she...
I just think there's no way you got yourself in that bathtub and then covered it all up.
So you believe that there are vampire blood-sucking people that can fly, but you don't believe she could cover herself in a bathtub?
I just think...
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes.
Bathtubs are really...
Just pointing that out. Okay, just making sure I have that clear.
A bathtub's really uncomfortable to sleep in. That's all.
Well, so would a coffin be.
With your neck crooked like that.
Is that a skull she has in her right hand, or is that some
It's a rock or something.
It does look like a rock.
So anyway, so he pulls out his knife, and of course, we're all expecting...
But I like that he's exactly who he is. That's what I like best about him. He's not going to hurt him.
And then that's it.
And then even when that's happening, he runs away. He's not like, I mean, obviously he's not trying to stop it from happening, but I just, you know, I don't think he wants to actually kill anybody.
He doesn't want to kill anybody, no. I like how we only see the slightest sliver of what's going on. That's great.
Well, I think it's also reasonable to assume that he's a little scared of what's going on, especially since Ellie has made him go away.
I think he's really scared.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't know. See? I mean, he's shaking. It's like he... Well, to his credit.
But look, he throws the knife away. Like, he loves her and he wants to protect her, but...
He think for a moment that he'd be able to do it.
Right, and that scares him. Look at how scared he is. He's like, fuck that knife. Oh, frack that knife. Gosh darn it.
Oh, it's okay.
As the day progresses, the internet. You don't have to my be mouth is just getting more sailory.
Look at all the
sailory.
Blood on her mouth. Look at all that.
Here she hugs him. See?
Okay.
She hugs him right here like he hugged her that first time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gross. Don't kiss me with your blood lips.
I know, right?
Gross.
That's exactly what I said. I'm like, don't do it. Don't. At least we don't have to see it.
Well, I still think that there's something going on with Oscar that makes him not trip out about stuff like that. Like, he just seems to be dead to the whole, like, impetus of blood on stuff.
But I think he really likes her, and, you know, there's just...
I think he really likes her. I think he's kind of smart for his age, and I think he's kind of brave, actually.
Yeah.
Now, what was that?
Yeah, now, see, I think it's knocking? His mom trying to find him, but at the same time, like, the walls are real thin. They established that. So maybe it's her trying to find him in whatever room he's in, because you realize he was at her apartment night.
Yeah.
He's just like, nope, I'm done, disconnected.
Just like, leave me alone. Well, because, you know, Ellie's gone now; she's left him. I like how he just closes all those.
I do too. It's like they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I took that symbolism for it, you know?
That's what it said, who murdered the man in the ice. Yeah, Duncan, I can see some of that. He has been collecting those stories about, you know, basically murders and death.
And he has a knife, and just the whole acting out, threatening someone and stabbing someone on that tree, like, that is an advanced level of the psychosis that goes, that leads to actually doing a murder.
Mm. That's a nice shot.
Empty
table. Everything's gone. She took everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like the two things she had.
Right. Now, is the body still in a place?
Right.
I was thinking of that. I don't know. Funny like that.
And we're back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Only not.
Now, there's kids running towards us here in the background.
You know, there are kids in the background in a couple of places here that doesn't lead to anything.
Oh, I didn't see that.
There's a scene earlier with a couple of dogs in it. There are kids playing in the snow just
probably
behind
just,
that. And
they were
just
on location. Yeah, no real people.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, his nose is running. It's really annoying me.
Again.
It's really annoying. Blow your nose, buddy.
You know what, though? Credit to watching it on the iPad. This is the first time I noticed the drop, and I thought he was crying.
I think he's
crying. His nose has been running.
I think he's crying, too.
I think he was crying, yeah.
He was crying, but his nose has been running all the time, too.
True.
And I just find it really annoying. See, he is crying right there.
Aww. Gosh, that little kid is cute. I'm not annoyed by it at all. I just think he's precious. I like the way he cries. You know, he's not like sobbing into his hands. It's like he's just kind of like holding it in.
See, in the other translation or the other...
They say his name.
Mr. Avalon.
This doesn't, too.
he's not acting.
Right? He pulled that moment from his own feelings.
Right.
Pool. Oh, pool. Bad.
Bad is pool.
Bad
it
is
says
pool.
Bathhouse in the other one.
Well, same thing. It is a pool.
What is that spilled on the floor? I know the teacher comes around and thinks he did it. What
it
is
like
it? I don't know.
Shampoo, urine? I don't know.
Well, it's a bottle of something.
It's yellow something. Here's Mr. Avalon. Oh, he's talking in Spanish. Or whatever language.
Is it, I think it's Italian.
It is?
I think he might be Italian.
Oh.
Avila sounds more Italian than it does Spanish. I mean, romance languages, so.
Oh, wait a minute. He said, oh, that's, okay, that's, okay, so it was Martin.
That whole shot of all these reveals, like one right after another, really well done.
Mm.
Yeah.
They use mirrors in a lot of places in this film. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Reflections and mirrors.
Which is also interesting because in a lot of vampire lore, you can't see vampires in mirrors. So it's interesting that they use so many mirrors in this.
And that they never do, they never show
they, yeah, they never
her
use that.
Trying
they,
to be in
yeah.
They never do the vampire trick, yeah.
This is the most hilarious exercise
I
ever.
I think it's hilarious too. And it's really funny when the kid comes up and he's doing, I mean, the kid, you know, Oscar's laughing because it's all so silly.
Right. I like
the music.
Music.
Great.
Dude, haven't you ever heard of a diversion?
Seriously.
See, right, but if he's the only teacher there and there's a huge fire in the parking lot, I mean, he pretty much has to go.
True. However, if this were modern day, a teacher would never, ever have left a student
in
the pool.
He would have made him get out.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, he would have cleared the whole place.
Yeah. Aww.
Or there would have been a lifeguard on duty or something.
He's got some pretty sweet kicks.
Oh, at least.
Mm-hmm. And similar note about the ice skating on a freaking frozen lake with a hole in it earlier.
Oh, it's sweet in 1982.
Right. Yeah, what are you going to do? I love how they walk in and they're like, clear out, kids. Right.
That's like old school big-ass switchblade, by the way. There are a lot of much sleeker designs. And just it's like, wow. That switchblade says poser to me. Even though he's really going to use it, it still says poser.
I'm sure it doesn't say poser to this little kid.
Yeah, did you see how he looked at the other kid? It's like...
See, what I'm thinking right now, when I was watching it, I was thinking, if he stays in the water, how are they going to get him?
Well, that's what I thought.
Like, just back up into the middle of the pool. It's like, all right, jump in and get me then.
Come on, get me. Yeah. See, what I don't like is he acquiesces.
Right.
He should have just gone to the middle of the pool.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't know he's in a horror movie.
Apparently.
No, in terms of being bullied?
I think they could have constructed this scene.
He just willingly goes up there
to account for that loophole.
But it's also something I do. It's just like when he gets hit by the switch, it's like there's something like kind of like brave and daring inside of him. I mean, that's why he's attracted to a vampire. You know, there's something a little like on the edge, a little risky inside of him.
Right, but acquiescing. And by the way, the angles of underwater with the fist and all is wrong.
Oh, well, okay. That's interesting you say that because if you
he's
holding him like this.
If you look, he is holding like that. But also, if you look at it behind the scenes stuff, actually the shot of him where it looks straight at him, you'll see him in a second. Oh, this kid is just that's on a green screen.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, in other words, they have him against blue or whatever, purple actually, and then they shot the pool. This is so much better in the subtitle.
Mm-hmm. I know, because they all talk like little girls, too, with the dubbed.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's gross, pimply, right? Teenage skin. No wonder why he's a bully.
I like this, how you...
You hear the screaming through the water.
Yeah. You hear the screaming, the banging. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was great. I was like, what's that?
This is the best right here. This is my favorite.
Yes, that's right. Awesome. And then,
because they make such a point of showing his shoes too earlier, mm-hmm. so you know exactly who that is. And it's
then,
Martin.
Then right after that...
Boink.
And then you were waiting for that. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, man. And he smiles.
And she smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see
and everybody's dead.
And the dude with the blonde hair, he's just like,
crying.
Yeah, but he's alive. She left him alone. God, look at that. No, Martin's the one who was dragged with the feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Because
those were his shoes.
Those were his shoes. Okay, got it. I was confusing him with the brother. And there's a snow shot again. Interesting how the way they did it is they basically masked off the left side.
Yeah,
the right side there. I was thinking
you do see sparklies on that side.
A little sparklies. But it's a great shot of snow.
A technical term.
Yes.
Well, out of focus flakes. But right. Once again, shooting snow is not easy. And did a great job.
I think I'm sure they did all that in just one. But they clearly rack focus back and forth through the thing different times.
I like how the train is kind of old and beat up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it feels empty, and that even that window being open suggests like abandonment, almost.
Right.
But then, you know, and we still can't see anything. Still can't see anything. And then reveal. Very interesting.
Right.
Very interesting.
And then I was expecting her to sit across from him. That's right. She can't be in the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get the tapping until, well, of course, because you have no idea because you don't see it yet. And then when it's in frame, and now we see it's in frame. There you go.
I do have to wonder, though, like, clearly Oscar's not going to carry that box.
Right.
Well, they have it carried by Porter or something.
Yeah. Right. Or maybe they arrive at night.
Yeah.
Perhaps, because that looks like her sweater up on the wall there and bag. Yeah. Or is that a scarf? Never mind, it's a scarf.
Okay.
The blue thing.
But now they're together. He's run away. And he's going to live his life with her.
Yep.
And it starts the cycle, and you got to wonder, like, how similar that start was to
I kind of get, like, a feeling, though, from Oscar and... Maybe, I don't know, just because of like the kind of guy he is and like this kind of independence and bravery, I kind of feel like he's going to get a little bit older and he's going to leave her.
Hmm.
I just kind of get that impression, like he's not quite like that other guy, that he's smarter, you know, he knows about puzzles, he reads, he's intuitive, he's just...
definitely more complicated.
He's a clever kid, yeah, it just seems very complicated. He seems, I don't know.
I think the story just kind of leaves itself open. It's like a story and something you can't answer because it's like you don't even want to know what the answer is because the story exists just for now.
Right.
For their love story right now. And then, you know, afterwards, we don't think about like when it falls apart. Just that they're off together. Well, of course, I'd like to. But the thing is that, you know, their story is going to end, you know.
At some point.
Tragically, because she's not going to age and he's going to age.
I hope one day, though, like, I kind of hope he does leave her one day. Honestly, just for him, because I think that that's better for him. And if she really loved him, she'd rather have that than have him, like, die like that other guy.
Right.
Or maybe he'll end up killing her, either because she gets fed up and asks him to, or because he realizes it's the best.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I like how the background to the credits is turning red.
Ooh,
oh,
red.
It's red again.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Whole bunch of titles that I cannot read.
So is this better or worse than Twilight?
I have yet to screw up the courage to even subject myself to Twilight.
I've seen all the Twilight movies. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they're horrible, but I think that's why I love them. They're horrible.
Awesome. I love that you're honest about that.
But I think that that's exactly what is appealing about them. You know, sometimes you just want to watch trashy movies that you don't have to really care about. Nothing important happens, and everybody's a bunch of like idiots and twits, you know? It's nice.
Okay, all right. I can see that. Maybe
a
not.
Less complicated world.
That's right. So
you know, to each his own. You know, some people take drugs, some people drink. I watch Twilight. I've got to get rid of my brain cells somehow.
Then, you know, we've got to argue how physically bad it is for you to do that to yourself. How many brain cells are you losing?
That's right. How much Twilight do you watch?
I don't know. Just enough to keep the edge off, you know.
Okay. Cool. Well, any final thoughts do we have here as we let the credits roll out?
I think it's a good movie. I think it's provocative. It makes you think about things, certain mythos, and in a way that you wouldn't normally. Not my favorite film. Probably won't watch it again, maybe ever. Mm-hmm. I think two times was tops. You know, worth seeing. Recommend
it. Worth seeing. Yeah.
Worth seeing, but definitely not one of my favorite films ever. Definitely not one of my favorite foreign films ever. And definitely not my favorite vampire film ever.
What's your favorite vampire film ever?
I really love Bram Stoker's Dracula. I actually watched a little bit of that the other day.
I need to watch that again.
I need to watch it
again. I love Gary Oldman. I think he's fantastic he's in that.
I saw the movie. My only recollection of it is just felt like a bunch of different episodes and never really stuck together for me.
Whole. But I do love that story. And I just thought Gary Oldman was like the quintessential Dracula.
Absolutely.
Like, I thought he captured that.
His performance definitely stood out, almost like he was acting in a different movie than everyone else was.
Yeah, but he's just brilliant. And I do love Interview with the Vampire, although it's nothing really like the book, and I love the book so much. And I'm also, I have questionable feelings about Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, but I do love that movie.
Don't watch Queen of the Damned then. Have you seen that
too? No, it's horrible. Oh my gosh. That's the worst adaptation of anything. Worst adaptation ever.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Really, that bad?
Yeah, they might as well just call it another completely different random movie.
Okay. Right. Then no one would have known what it was about. Okay.
What's your favorite vampire film ever?
The Hunger.
Oh. I haven't
seen that one.
Yeah.
You've never seen The Hunger? If you like vampires, you got to watch The Hunger.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think my favorite vampire movie, if I had to pick one, would probably have to be Blade, just because it's mix of two genres.
Yeah.
It's a cool action sci-fi flick, and it's got vampire stuff in it, and I don't know, it's entertaining.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's funny. Well, I was going to say it's funny. None of us said Dracula, but you said Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, going back to the classic story, as opposed to any other previous versions of Dracula. But
yeah, because in some of the older films, it's not, I don't know, it's just so lavish and like romanticized, and Gary Oldman is so like exactly what Dracula is in the book, if you've ever read the book. I mean, he just very much captures that.
Did you ever see the Frank Langella Dracula?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
I don't know. Like, I saw it a really long time ago. I don't know if I actually ever saw it like beginning to end. And doesn't really stand out in my mind, so.
Because I remember, did you see it?
Maybe it was just the age I was at when I saw it.
Yeah. I can see that being good casting, though.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is he played Dracula on Broadway and did very well, and then they made the movie. I think that was late 70s, so that was the thing, and so that's why I think they came out. It was a thing at the time. I don't think it like survived as much as Bram Stoker's Dracula for whatever reason. It's interesting that you say that. I'll have to go back and watch it again. I just, you know, remember. It was a rough go of it. I mean, I like the production values and all that kind of
thing. Right, I mean, there's a lot of random stuff going on in it. But, you know, I mean, it's got Keanu.
It had Winona Ryder. It had Monica Bellucci as one of the
I forget what they're, like, his wives.
And it had Sir Anthony Hopkins also.
Sir Anthony Hopkins, he's Van Helsing.
That's right, yeah, he is.
And that's pretty good casting. And
Sadie,
I don't know, it's
Sadie
just
Frost in it, yeah.
There's just a lot of great moments. It looks really beautiful a lot of times, and it's just, I don't know.
Can I give you the random Dracula casting trivia of the day?
Sure. Hey.
Love to.
We love trivia.
Morgan Freeman
played
Dracula on The Electric Company back in the day.
Get it, Morgan.
I just learned that, and I saw some footage of him talking and singing about grammar.
Wow.
The Electric Company. Decked out in like 60s hippie garb. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I was not an Electric Company fan. I was a Zoom fan.
Is that a Canadian show? I've never heard of
it. No, Zoom was also by done out of WGBH out of Boston. So they had Zoom, and then they had Electric Company.
See, I was mostly Sesame Street with a little bit of Electric Company.
Yeah, Sesame Street was younger. Zoom was just skewed a little bit.
It's
just
older.
Just a little bit older. Like about Electric Company, and then you had Sesame Street, lower. electric company, and then you had Zoom just a little higher.
Heidi, who's not in the same age range, is going, I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't have Zoom at all?
I don't know about Zoom. I know about electric company, but I always watched 321 Contact.
Oh, yeah. I saw that a little bit. Yeah. I remember that show.
That was my show.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, nice. It's along the same vein.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the same kind of thing, so. Any more vampire references we want to make? Oh, we'll have to do another vampire film at some point.
Of course.
Definitely.
Of course. I think we should do Bram Stoker's Dracula, actually.
I think we should do The Hunger also at some point.
Okay.
So,
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get a I can lend it to you. I'll do that.
Okay.
We'll do that. Okay, great. And on that note, we hope you have a great Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
So this has been...
Heidi Hilliker.
And Duncan K. Fraser.
And Serge Delpierre.
One word, Delpierre.
Yeah, Serge Delpierre. Saying goodbye. This has been Foam Rock. See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.